a very, very special, honored guest speaker, a man whom over the last several years, quite a few years actually, has become my friend. He's become an elder. So you know, he's one of the men that when I have a question or I want to bounce off my feelings, my thoughts, and to make sure I'm in tune with God, Brother Howard is one of those elders that I had mentioned to the board when I first come here. I had three or four different men, and he's one of them. I've learned to appreciate him. Met him. We just talked about this yesterday. Me, him, and Brother Allred. Met him quite a few years ago, and Brother Allred kept after me to go to the meeting that Brother Kelly had in Kamiai, Idaho. And we went there and had a powerful, powerful meeting. I got to meet Brother Howard, Brother Pickle Simon, and different ones. And we had a great service that time. I remember that. My wife went with us, and from that point on, we become friends. And God has used Brother Howard mightily throughout our constituency, the apostolic truth and teachings. And I won't go into all of his credentials. If he feels that, so be it. But trust me, he is very well respected and highly esteemed in the ministry. He's a humble man, and in a lot of ways, and in other ways, he's not afraid to confront the devil face on. Trust me, he's not afraid to put the devil in his place. God has used him mightily, helping ministers, working in the ministry and leadership throughout the years, and he's got a great church. I've never been there. He's tried to get me to come a couple of times or so to preach and be there, and for some reason or another, it just never happened. Maybe it was because there's no bears there. I don't know. Barriers, yeah, okay. Amen. And I love and appreciate Brother Howard and his friendship and his leadership. I want him to come, and I want him to have his liberty. And I have not, let me rephrase this, I have not spoke to him about any of you. So whatever comes this morning will be from God. Do you believe that? Amen. Brother Howard, my friend, come preach to us what the Lord has laid in your heart.
Everybody say praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and I certainly enjoyed, I don't know if it's a Bible lesson, a message, or, yeah, preaching, I think we call it, teach and preach at the same time. But how many of you appreciate the anointing and the authority and the Word of God that we heard already? Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. I will say this, that the things that your pastor brought to your attention today will certainly bring the favor of God upon your life. And I'm going to tell you, that's to be coveted more than riches. The favor of God is the ultimate. And the reason we need it here is because when we get there, we're not going to get in there unless we have his favor. Unless he can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then that means if he cannot say that, we do not have favor with him. So I really, really want the favor of God in my life. How about you? Amen. And I appreciate, of course, as your pastor's already mentioned, our number of years of friendship, fellowship, together in many services. I've preached for him where he pastored before, and this man's always given everything he had, very faithful, very sincere, and he has not asked you to do anything in what he preached today that he hasn't practiced himself for many, many years. So, again, as I think the young man leading the service made mention to, if you're going to have spiritual authority or authority in your life over your family or whatever your position in life might be, you have to be under authority. And that's just the way it works. And so I appreciate the church. I appreciate the government that God has put in the church. He has an order. Everything God does has order to it. when He created the heavens and the earth. If you'll read through Genesis 1, especially, and on into chapter 2, you'll notice that God was taking chaos and confusion and making it orderly. And when He got everything in order, then everything functioned the way God intended for it to function. When we get our life in order, then everything falls into place. Good things begin to come to us when we get our life in order. That order extends in our families, into our home, every aspect of our life. So I just think that's a very timely Bible study that would fit anywhere, especially in this age of anarchy, where people do not want to be under authority. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of blessings in being under authority. A lot of things you don't have to worry about if you're under God's authority. A lot of things He takes care of. He doesn't worry about it. He just takes care of it. Amen. You appreciate the Lord. Amen. Also want to say thank you to your pastor's wife, Sister Fisher, for her hospitality. And she always makes you feel so at home and gracious person. And we love and appreciate this good family. As always already been mentioned, we know Brother Allred and his wife for quite a few years as well. And we've had good times of fellowship. And other times we've talked scripture and different things. Got to spend some time yesterday with him, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And appreciate this church. I've never been here before. Actually, this is the first time No, it's not. I've preached in Carlsbad, New Mexico. So this is the second time that I've preached in this state. And my first time to be here, very, very impressed with what I see, what I feel, what's going on here, the good reports that I've been receiving ever since your pastor has been here, has excited me, thrilled me, and now I get to see it for myself. And so far you haven't disappointed me. And I don't know what you've heard about me, but I sure hope I don't disappoint you. Amen. Praise God. All right, let's stand together. I'm going to try not to be too long-winded, and I can be. And I think the longest I've ever preached without stopping was 3.5 hours. So I'd have to go some to beat that today. I do a lot of teaching of ministers overseas, and there's a conference that I've been doing 3 years now in Brazil, and we have usually over 200 ministers present for that, and they put me on such a rigorous schedule that I have to teach and preach 9 hours a day, several times, 2 or 3 days in succession, and that's a long time for somebody my age to have to preach and teach. Somebody said, "How do you do it?" I don't know. I don't think I can do it before I do it, and I wonder how I did it when I got through. I guess God comes and helps us. But I don't feel that long-winded anointing on me today. Hallelujah. Pastor's hungry. I'm in the worst place that a preacher can be. How many of you people are hungry? Not for the word, but for food. Raise your hand. How many of you can eat right now if it's time to eat? See what I got to come up against? Amen. I'm standing between you and your meal today. So that puts a lot of pressure on. Amen. All right. Let's get into the word of the Lord, John, the 11th chapter, and beginning in verse number 21. John chapter 11, verse 21. The setting here is the death of Jesus' friend Lazarus. By the time Jesus arrived on the scene, as has been the custom of the Jews from ancient times. They bury their dead within 24 hours unless there's just an impossibility for that to happen. This man had been in the grave 4 days. And absolutely no doubt that he was dead. And so Jesus, this was his close friend as well as his two sisters that lived with him in the same home. And Jesus often stayed with them when he was in that area. And when Jesus got word, he waited a few days until he felt it was time, and he made his way to the little town of Bethany where they lived. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, Martha said unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Sometimes when tragedy strikes, we think it means that God was not there or that God did not care. But that's not always the case. She said, "But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." I appreciate that expression of faith. "Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again." See the response of the Lord to the statement of faith. "Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She didn't really understand. Jesus had to explain. "Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." That was a tremendous, tremendous statement of faith, recognizing that he was the Messiah, the Word made flesh. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and is calling and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. I want to preach to you for a little while here today on this subject. The Master is calling for you. The Master is calling for you. I feel God's touch right now. Just begin to settle over this congregation. Let's lift our hands and acknowledge His presence and give thanks to Him. God, we praise You. God, we exalt You. We bless Your holy name. Thank You, Lord, for being here. God, open people's hearts to receive the word of the Lord. Give me grace to speak what You've pressed upon my mind and heart. Give me the ability and the anointing to preach Your word with conviction and power. In Jesus' name. Praise God. You can be seated. As we go through life, there are many occasions that arise that we want to be in attendance. I remember as a child, I loved it when one of my friends had a birthday party and I got invited to go to the party. I always look forward to that. It's a terrible thing to find out someone had a party that you thought was your friend and you didn't get invited. Amen. But even so, there are many kinds of invitations that come our way. Some of them are general. Sometimes there might be an activity takes place in our church and somebody may say, "Everyone's welcome to come. Everybody's invited." Maybe it's, I've got a wedding here in a couple weeks and it's been announced in church, and everyone is invited. And that's good to know. It's a general invitation. But it's so much different when you receive a nice engraved card, and it makes a personal invitation. Then you know that they really, really want you to be there. Amen. And God sometimes speaks in generalities. We look in His Word. "Whosoever will," that means anyone, "let him come and drink of the water of life freely." But I'm going to tell you, God is very personal, very specific, and He knows your name and my name, and He speaks to us on an individual level. Amen. He knows where you live. He knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you need. Amen. He hears your cry. He hears your tears, your weeping. And He sees and knows all of these things. And God is moved by the cry of those that cry out to Him, that need His help. And God answers in a very specific way. Amen. So what I want to talk to us today is about how God, when He calls, amen, He's ready to do something for us, Something good always happens when God calls for an individual. There are some places, some examples I'll use here briefly in the book of Matthew, the 14th chapter. I will not be reading this, but just for reference purpose in verses 15 through 21. This is the miracle of the feeding of 5,000. And in this particular incident, we read about how that at evening time the disciples came to Jesus. This is a desert place. There's no food available. We need to send these people away into the villages to buy some food, etc. Jesus said, don't send them away. Amen. Give them to eat. And so this is where Jesus commanded that all the people be gathered together. He called that entire multitude. We have no idea the exact count. I've looked at this many times, looked at different commentaries, dictionaries, Bible dictionaries, etc. Even though there's some controversy about it, my personal opinion after doing all the study and research, I'm just curious. When I'm curious about something, I don't leave it alone until I get an answer. And so I've come to this conclusion. It says the men besides the women and the children. To me, that's pretty simple. When you got 5,000 men there, and the women and the children, just if we took account of all the men here today, it would probably only be about a fraction of a fourth or a third at the most. I don't think it'd be a third, because the women and the children would comprise probably three-fourths of the congregation here today, even though there's a good number of men present. So when we think of 5,000 besides the women and the children, easily could have been in excess of 20,000 people. That's not the important thing. If it was only 5,000, the fact that Jesus called them together. I'm just trying to help you understand, anytime He calls you, something wonderful is going to take place. You don't want to miss out on God's invitation. Amen. When he gives to this church, the whole church, and oftentimes He does this, amen, an invitation to come and to partake of what He has prepared for them. That means everyone here, if you will respond to the Master's call, is going to receive something wonderful and special and personal from God. Amen. You won't leave here like you came. When you respond to the call of the Spirit of God. And so, as He called that massive multitude of people together, He took just a few, just a little boy's lunch. Just a small, small lunch. Many parts of the world where I've traveled, I've been amazed at the things that people feed, eat some in some other countries. And many, many places, especially through countries of Asia, their diet consists of a lot of food and things, or fish and things they catch from the sea and the waters and so forth. And in their markets, I'll see little bitty fish that we call bait. Sometimes it's salted and dried out. Sometimes it's fresh. But when it says a small lad's lunch, and if it says three fish or five fish, that doesn't mean, you know, that he had five big crappie or something he was going to eat, or some other kind of nice food fish. But it probably meant a few little small fish. Maybe his mama had cooked them real crispy for him. And a few little loaves of bread, which was not like loaves to feed a family, but it would be little rolls. That's typical in that part of the world. So just a little boy's lunch. And Jesus multiplied that and fed the entire multitude. And there was plenty for everyone. Everyone ate to their fill. And there was a lot of food left over. Hey, man, that's God. Start out with so little and end up with more than enough. Praise God. Sometimes we come in so empty, so lacking, so needy. Amen. But when we respond to God, we leave here full. Amen. And more than we can even partake of. Amen. Everybody say praise the Lord. So that was a good thing when Jesus called them together. In verse 18, He said, bring them hither to me. Hallelujah. There's to me an evangelistic little aspect of this. And that is, here we are enjoying what God has given us, but He wants us to bring the multitudes hither or close. Bring them here to me. Amen. Because God not only wants to feed those of you that are here today, but God loves this entire community. Amen. He wants us to bring them to Jesus. I wonder what would happen if we could get some more of these folks into the house of God and then feel what we're feeling and hear what we hear. Amen. And have some of this liberty that God has given unto us. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. There was also Matthew, the 17th chapter, the 17th verse. There's an incident that took place that involved a man that brought his son that was grievously vexed with an evil spirit. And when that spirit would move upon him, he'd throw himself down on the ground. And he would, I guess we would call it having some kind of a seizure, but it was more violent even than that. He even tried to cast himself into the water or the fire. It was a destructive spirit that wanted to destroy this boy and take his life. And he brought him to his disciples, and disciples prayed for him. He didn't get any delivered Jesus. And Peter, James, and John was up on the Mount of Transfiguration where they saw the glory of the Lord upon Jesus and heard the voice of God saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And they were on, you might say, really on cloud number 9. Amen. Because just a cloud came of the glory of God, surrounded them there on that mountain. And Jesus said, "We're going to go down to the foot of the mountain." Amen. We got to remember this, people. When we're caught up into those places, those heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. Where the real work is not there. But when we come down off the mountain, where the people are that have needs. Praise God. Amen. Freely we have received, freely give. Everybody say amen. So he came down. And he saw, and he inquired, and he found out, Lord, he brought this boy to us, and we couldn't get him delivered. And Jesus said, "Bring him hither to me. Bring him to me. Amen. I will take care of his problem." And when they brought the boy to Jesus, he rebuked that spirit. He delivered that child. God was glorified. This young man's life was saved from destruction. Amen. That's what God does when we bring people to Him. Amen. And they are hungry and desirous and needy. God always undertakes, and He is more than sufficient for the need. Hallelujah. The feeding of 5,000, He was more than sufficient to feed those people. That's not the first time He fed people. He fed probably 2 million people every day for 40 years in the wilderness. So it's not a big thing for Him to feed 5,000 plus. Amen. I'm telling you, we are serving a God that is bigger than our problems. Greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. Amen. God is in us. We are the church. God is in the church. Amen. The church is triumphant. It's built upon the rock and the solid foundation of truth. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Amen. We're not defeated. Amen. I said we're not defeated. We're on our way to glorious victory in Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Again, in the 10th chapter of Mark is another example. I'm just going to give you a few examples here that emphasize what I feel that God wants us to understand today. We've all heard of the miracle of blind Bartimaeus. And what an incredible, incredible miracle it was. There's several things here that are noteworthy. Number one, Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming. Amen. So he positioned himself to have his own personal relationship, touch, audience with Jesus. You know, there's something of There's a truth in that that we need to understand. A lot of this was covered in the teaching today. But we need to get ourselves in a place spiritually where when the Spirit of God begins to work and move in our midst, that we get our own personal visitation from God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There's places where it talks about Jesus passed by. And this is what's taking place in this story. Happened several places in his ministry. The ones that really received something special from him are the ones that made it a point to be where he was and to do whatever they had to do to get his attention. Amen. Many times we miss out on what God wants to do because we do not put forth an effort on our own. We get this attitude, he knows where I am, he knows where I'm what I'm going through, and if he wants me to be healed, if he wants me to receive the Holy Ghost, if he wants this or that or the other, he knows where I'm at. He really does. And he knows where you're at right now is not a place where he can work in your life the way that he wants to work. Amen. There's a responsibility upon us. If you got sin in your life, if you want Jesus to come near, repent of your sin. Hallelujah. If you've got aught against your brother in your life, get it fixed. Amen. That will attract the presence of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Don't sit around feeling sorry for yourself. Feeling sorry does not attract, amen, the Spirit of God. Amen. But God responds to faith. God responds, amen, to those that draw nigh unto God. Amen. Draw nigh unto God. Amen. He will draw nigh unto you, but it takes an effort on your part. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. So blind Bartimaeus had been blind for many, many, many years. And somebody said, well, people get used to that. No, that's not the case. People just learn how to get by. They learn how to compensate. But they don't want to be blind. You understand what I'm saying? They don't want to be blind. They want to be healed. They want to be able to see. Amen. They want to be what God wants them to be and do. Amen. Things like everyone else with eyesight is able to do. Amen. So he heard that Jesus is coming. That means somebody was spreading the news. Somebody was telling someone that told someone that told Bartimaeus that Jesus is going to pass through our city today. Amen. And I'm sure with great effort, he might have even had to talk to somebody and say, would you guide me down to the highway and where Jesus has to pass by? I want to get this. I know it sounds ironic, but he says, I want to see Jesus. Somebody would say, you can't see Jesus. He said, but I want to see Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? He may not be able to see Jesus now, but he felt like if he could get to where Jesus was, he could see Jesus. Amen. Amen. We need that kind of faith today, don't we? There's some things God wants to show us, but we got to pursue it. Praise God. We got to put forth the effort. Amen. Amen. And so there he was, and just lost in the crowd, so to speak. But when he heard that Jesus was passing by, somebody was probably saying, Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Here he is, here he comes. And he heard Jesus is passing by. And you know, if it had been a lot of us, we would have sat there. I put forth a lot of effort to be here. I've been blind all my life. Jesus is going to be coming right by me. He knows where I'm at. No, no. Yeah, attitude. Wrong attitude. Let's get the right attitude. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus would have passed him right on by. How do you know that, preacher? Remember when the disciples were in the storm and they were about to be destroyed in the storm? And Jesus come walking on the waters? And what did the Bible say he would have done? He would have passed them by. for somebody cried out to him. Is that you, Lord? I'm right here. When he got closer, Peter said, is that really you, Lord? Bid me come unto you. He said, come. He got out there and walked on the water to Jesus. Somebody said, yeah, but he started sinking. Well, let me ask you something. How far have you walked on water? All right. Had two little boys in my church a few years ago. They was about a year apart. And they come into my office and they wanted to tell me something. And I'm talking about these boys are like 6 and 7, 5 and 6, 6 and 7, somewhere along in there. And one of the oldest ones said, Brother Heron, he said, guess what I did the other day? I said, what'd you do? He said, I walked on the water. I said, really? And his brother piped up and said, yeah, he did, Brother Heron. I saw him do it. So this is interesting. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I've never walked on water. I said, would you mind teaching me how to walk on water? They said, sure. And I said, well, how did you walk on water? He said, well, you got to move your feet real fast. So I said, well, we're going to arrange a day and a place. And I want you boys to teach me how to walk on water. I saw them recently, and now they're up like 13, 14. I said, hey, you still hadn't taught me how to walk on water. Amen. But Peter walked on water. But Jesus would have what? Passed them by. There's a song we used to sing. Let's see if I can remember. There's a reason Jesus passed by. No, that was a different one. Jesus is passing this way today. How many of you know that one? You ever heard that? The one says, reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. How many of you have ever heard that song? Yeah, a few of you. It's a great song. But there's a great message in it. He's passing by, but you got to put forth the effort. He wants to touch you, but he also wants you to touch him. Did you know Jesus loves to be handled by human hands? Think about it. They handed that 8-day-old baby to Simeon, and he held it in his arms. And he began to proclaim that this was the salvation of Israel. Look at this. That man, us, created by God, was holding in his hands the Word made flesh. Holding his Creator in his arms. Jesus has always demonstrated here on the earth, that he wants to be touched by human hands. For we have not a priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Was tempted in every point like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain grace and mercy to help in a time of need. Now, I'm telling you, Jesus is in this place today. Somebody is going to touch him. Somebody is going to make connection. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. So he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. We told you to be quiet. You want us to choke you? Shut up! That's probably what most of us would have done, is shut up. Cower down. But hey, he knew this was his one and possibly only opportunity to be healed. You never know. You never know when your moment has come and you let it pass you by. You can never recall that moment again. Never! I'm not saying Jesus would never have mercy on you, but you cannot recall that moment again. It's gone forever. So, boldly, Jesus, the son of David, have mercy on me. And they're saying, be quiet. And Jesus said, bring him to me. Jesus called him to come to him. You know the rest of the story. He got to see Jesus. He got to see Jesus spiritually and literally. Amen. God gave him perfect vision because he had the proper response when Jesus passed by. We need to learn how to be sensitive to the moving of the Holy Ghost and plug in. Amen. I said, plug in. We don't need somebody to give us a special invitation, somebody to push us. Hallelujah. So let's go back to our scripture text as I wrap this up in the next few minutes. Lazarus and his sisters always made Jesus welcome when he came into their vicinity. Bethany's just a little short distance outside of Jerusalem. And there's many times when Jesus was in their area. That's where he went. That's where he was made welcome. Hey, is there something in that, I wonder? Why did he always go to their house? They always made him welcome. If you want Jesus to be in this church, we must always make him welcome. Always. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know many of you have made him welcome here today, but how about the rest of you? I wonder what would happen if everybody would make Jesus welcome. Everyone would respond to the moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want in on it. Whatever God's doing, I want in on it. Amen. I want to be a part of whatever God is doing. I don't want to be left out. I don't want to be a spectator. I don't want to be on the sideline. I don't want to be the one that's lukewarm and unconcerned and in danger of backsliding. I want to be on fire for God. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Give me just a few more minutes. Just a few more minutes. You can be seated. Amen. Back to our scripture text. This is a wonderful story. There's a lot of, well, there's 44 verses plus that is given to the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Now, being raised from the dead is a big deal. But the focus doesn't seem to be so much on that as it is on all these other circumstances that contributed or hindered the miracle. Amen. God wants to work miracles for us, but we have to get it right on our end. Praise God. And so sometimes we get offended at God. And we ask God, why? And we question him. It's more than just why. It's really an accusation. Like, if you really love me, you wouldn't allow this to happen. If you really cared about me, why would you have done this to me? That kind of a spirit and an attitude will push God away from you. I've been through a few trials. I've been through some things that probably would compare with anything anybody here has been through. But by the grace of God, not one time have I asked God why or accused him. I may not understand it. Some of these things are years behind me now. And I still, don't ask me to explain it today, I still don't understand it. But I know in whom I believed. And I know that he, amen, is able to keep that which I've committed into his hands against that day. Hallelujah. My trust and faith is not in knowing and understanding the situation. My trust and faith is anchored in the one that I know is in control of everything. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have to know the why if you know the who. And the who is Jesus Christ. Amen. You may not ever understand the circumstances that you find yourself in. That's not what's important. What you need to be focused on today is Him, the one, the who, that can do something about your situation. I didn't ask to be born into this family. I wonder if there's anybody here today that's an adult that's never said that. Every time I got in trouble, I said it. To my pillow, where I was pouting and mad in my bedroom. Yeah, you know, it's just not fair. If my parents really loved me, they'd let me go where I wanted to go and do what I wanted to do. I didn't understand what parental love was really all about. It's not giving in to you, it's guiding you, teaching you, training you. Discipline, which we all hate. Amen. But let's get back. Let's get back here to Martha, Mary, and Jesus. So, Jesus is finally arriving. It's all over with. In their mind, it was a permanent situation. They were still grieving, and they were preparing themselves to live the rest of their life without the fellowship, the companionship of their beloved brother. They'd given up all hope. And somebody came and said, Jesus is coming. That's what they said. Jesus cometh. And so, Martha, she was the one that was always the, you know, always doing something. She jumped up and she went and met the master. She didn't say, Lord, I'm so glad you're here. You're going to take charge of this situation. You're going to take care. You're going to heal my brother, blah, 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 blah. No, 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 no. That's not what she said. She chided him. She got on to the master. Lord, I know if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You know what she wasn't saying, but she was saying. She said, we sent for you days ago. You're just now getting here. How many times as a pastor I've heard those words? Well, we tried to get a hold of you, Pastor. And we couldn't get a hold of you. How many times has he tried to get a hold of you and he couldn't get a hold of you? You don't have near as many folks keep up with as he does. You might have two rotten kids or ornery husband or vice versa, ornery wife. In my opinion, ornery wife is worse than ornery husband. That's just my opinion. I'm sure more than half of you do not agree with my opinion. But there was an accusation in that. If you had been here sooner, it wouldn't be like this. Well, if I was Jesus, that would just fire me up to want to show them my glory and power. Oh, yeah. That's not the way to get an answer. That's not the way to get a blessing. Amen. And so she said, but now I do know, I know, Lord, that you have all power and you can ask God and He'll give it to you. Yeah. Let me get my little dig in first and then I'll try to smooth it over real quick. I couldn't reach you, Pastor. Couldn't reach you. But I know you're real busy, and I understand. Well, if you understood so well, why did you have to say that in that tone of voice? I feel the darts coming at me. I'm trying to protect myself. Oh, yeah. You were doing really good, Brother Howard. Why did you go there? Because I'm trying to help you. What part of helping people do you not understand? Gotta get her attitude right. Gotta get her attitude right. Amen. So that Jesus can do what He wants to do for us. So he had to get her attitude right. He preached to her a little bit. And he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he's dead, yet shall he live. Yeah, I know in the resurrection. He said, I'm talking about now. He is a God of right now. Amen. Future faith is not faith at all. Someday faith is not faith at all. Amen. The faith that appropriates God's promises is faith that says, I believe you're going to do it for me right now. Hallelujah. That's when the miracle happens. That's when deliverance happens. That's when salvation happens. Amen. It's when we reach that place. God, I know you can. I know you will. I know you want to. I believe you're going to do it right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Anyway, she finally got straightened out. And she went to her sister secretly. Said, the master calleth thee. Hallelujah. I believe the master's calling some people here right now. Just a few weeks ago, a little boy in our church, 6 years old, been seeking for the Holy Ghost. He prayed really, really good in the altar. And got real close to the Holy Ghost. The little guy really did. So, it was on a Sunday. They went home, went and got a bite to eat, went home. And he told his mom, he said, Mama, he said, we got to pray. He said, I got to have the Holy Ghost today. I got to have it today. And he said, I'm not going to, I don't want to go to bed without the Holy Ghost. This little boy told his mama that. And so his uncle lives there in the home with him. She's a single parent. And she has this boy's mama. This little boy lives in the home as well. And so they all got together and started praying. And I'm telling you, he prayed for an hour. And just kept praying. And directly, that little boy got the Holy Ghost. They went and made a recording of it where we could hear it. I'm telling you, that boy was talking in tongues. And he talked in tongues and talked in tongues and worshiped and worshiped and worshiped and worshiped. Amen. God met that little boy and honored his faith. Praise God. Childlike faith gets the job done. Preaching last fall in the month of October, early part of October, last part of September, and for Pastor Kelly, Kamei, Idaho, where we first met. And Pastor Kelly's son, Philip, is now an evangelist, and he has three children. He has a little boy named Jacob. I think Jacob was 7 years old. And I felt a real burden for children. I preached to the children. I preached a Sunday night service. I preached it just to the children. I had all the children come down the front. And I had a burden for them, and several of them got the Holy Ghost. And little Jacob really prayed for it, but he didn't get it. Here again is one of them go-out-to-eat deals. And afterwards, he told his daddy, he said, look, he said, I can't go to bed till I get the Holy Ghost. And he said, he said, I want to go back. Would you take me by the church so we can pray, so I can pray for the Holy Ghost? He said, Jesus may come before I get up in the morning. I wish that would get on some of us. Y'all really believe Jesus could come today, tonight, tomorrow? Amen. And so anyway, they took him by there. And I wasn't there. I was staying in a town some distance from there, about an hour's drive. But anyway, the little boy prayed and prayed and prayed, and he got the Holy Ghost. And they said he just talked in tongues forever. He shouted. He didn't know anybody was around. He was lost in the spirit. I can't remember for sure how long it was, brother, but I'm thinking it's over an hour that he talked in tongues and worshiped God. And I got to see him baptized the next night. It was a glorious thing. That's children. Jesus said, except you become as a little child, you can't enter into the kingdom. Let's stand together right now. Did you come with a need today? Did you come with an expectation? How many of you realize that God moves according to our expectation? Amen. Do you expect to receive something from God? I feel a spirit trying to hinder us right here at the altar call. I need everybody, amen, with your mind on the Lord, praying and believing God to do what He wants to work in this place right now. Did somebody come with a need today? Jesus has been present in this entire service. And you want to come up here and say, Jesus, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Is there somebody needs the Holy Ghost? Is there someone needs deliverance? Is there someone, amen, that's discouraged and about to give up and you need encouragement today? This is the place to find it. God is in this place right now to do a work. God bless you for responding. Somebody said, if I go to that altar, somebody will think I'm backslid. Quit worrying about what others think. Let's worry about what He thinks. Let's let Him know that we really mean it when we say we want you, we need you. Oh, hallelujah. There's quite a few here that need the Holy Ghost. There's people that need to renew it. Let's gather around and begin to pray in these altars right now. Come believing and expecting God to do a great work, a mighty work in this place today. In Jesus' name.